now, let us listen to God's word to us from Mark chapter 3. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is God's word for us this morning.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. "We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Well, yesterday was the third Saturday in July, the date of the annual Seidel family reunion. My dad has three sisters, and for the past 15 years or so, they have been getting together on this particular Saturday, along with whichever of us 10 kids from the next generation and our families are in town. They rent a pavilion at a park in Lebanon County, or Lepnin County, as they like to say in that part of Pennsylvania. We eat fried chicken and my Aunt Snooki's famous potato salad. The guys play horseshoes, the kids play games. We admire my cousin Betsy's husband Jerome's newest tattoo. And we all talk and eat and catch up on the big news of our lives. Our family didn't make it to the reunion this year. But back in June, I got to go to another kind of family reunion, General Assembly, which is the biennial national convention for our denomination. For those of you unfamiliar with Presbyterian structure, individual congregations are organized into regional presbyteries, which are grouped into even larger regional bodies called synods. Every 2 years, the presbyteries elect commissioners, equal numbers of ruling and teaching elders, or lay and ordained clergy people, to go to the General Assembly, which gathers for worship and conducts the business of our national church. This year, the meeting was in Detroit, Michigan. Although I was born and raised in the Presbyterian Church, I had never been to General Assembly before. As I walked for the first time into the soaring atrium of Cobo Hall, the ginormous convention center in Detroit, and saw all of the banners and signs, the lines of people registering, the bulletin boards full of information and maps, the teal-smocked greeters welcoming us, I felt a bit like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. I definitely was not in Kansas anymore. I had walked in with Rhonda Cruzy from our presbytery staff, and immediately she recognized someone across the room and ran to greet them with exclamations and hugs. All around me, people were greeting long-lost friends and colleagues from all over the country, even the world. That was when Rhonda said to me, "This is the best part of General Assembly. It's like a big family reunion." For me, it was more like seeing 3,000 family members whom I'd never met or even heard of before. It all reminded me, however, that sometimes our understanding of family goes far beyond our biological relatives. In our first scripture lesson this morning, Jesus expands our understanding of family. Now, this is early in his ministry, and Jesus has been preaching and healing and exorcising demons and generally causing a commotion. In our passage, Jesus had returned to his hometown, and he is in a house and surrounded by a crowd. His mother and brothers show up looking for Jesus, wanting to speak with him. They're concerned about some of the wild stories they've been hearing about him. When the crowd alerts Jesus to their request, Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Who are they? Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Family connections were the bedrock of society in Jesus' time. But here, Jesus radically redefines family as no longer limited to blood relations. Now, family includes any and all who do the will of God. Jesus' family is no longer limited to his biological mother and brothers, but now includes his disciples and followers, and even random strangers and outcasts from the crowd around him. Any who hear God's word and put it into action in their lives. In this sense, General Assembly really is a big family reunion. Disciples from all over the country and the globe coming together to witness to their belief in the God we know in Jesus Christ and to discern God's will for the church so that we can more faithfully live it in our communities and world. At GA this year, we did a lot of what families like to do when they get together. We talked, we ate, we played. Pictures. Being the church, we worshiped every day. And what is a gathering of Presbyterians without bagpipes? We renewed our baptismal vows. We heard inspiring preaching. We gathered around the Lord's table. Next one. And we did a lot of praying. The young adult volunteers kept us energized through some long days, and we even danced. And believe it or not, we worked really hard. After a day and a half of introductions and orientation, all 654 commissioners were assigned to 15 different committees tasked with doing the business of the assembly. I was on the Mid-Council's Issues Committee. For 2.5 days, these committees of 60 to 70 people, who knew you could even work in a committee that big, sifted through all of the overtures and resolutions sent to the General Assembly for consideration, listening, debate, and voting. Then we met in plenary sessions for another 3 days to hear greetings from Christian partners around the globe, from Africa, Central and South America, Europe and Asia, to receive reports about the work that our denomination does in the United States and all around the world, and to tackle some tough issues. In between all of these work sessions, there were breakfasts, lunches, dinners, sponsored by all kinds of groups and organizations connected to our denomination, seminaries and mission organizations, groups committed to social justice, peace and environmental issues, liberal and conservative, you name it, they were all there. all eager to share what they were doing and how we could get involved. Now, no family reunion is perfect or without its glitches, awkward moments, and disagreements. The very first day of the assembly, it became abundantly clear that Kobo Center was not quite prepared to meet the digital needs of the assembly. Imagine about 1,000 to 3,000 people at any given time, all with multiple devices, phones, tablets, laptops, trying to access the internet. All of the assembly business was online, and we were even supposed to vote online. Needless to say, we crashed both Kobo's wireless and hardwired servers. Numerous test votes and backup plans later, we cast our votes finally for the new moderator and vice moderator with paper ballots. So this is our new moderator, Dr. Heath Rada. And the next one, this is our vice moderator, Reverend Larissa Kwong Abazia, who is actually from a church in Queens, New York. So she is local to us. At most family reunions, we know what topics to avoid: religion, politics, money, and the latest family scandals. At General Assembly, we tackled them head on. Tough conversations and decisions about a variety of issues: the future of the synods, our declining numbers and challenges to our churches, marriage equality, the effects of racism and poverty, the gun violence epidemic, dependence on fossil fuels, and Middle East peace, just to name a few. Many celebrated the decisions that the assembly made. Others were deeply saddened and disappointed. We extended our welcome to some, and others no longer feel at home in our denomination. Through it all, however, I truly believed that we tried our best to speak the truth as we know it in love, and to be faithful to the Spirit's leading. The theme for this year's General Assembly was Abound in Hope, based on our second scripture lesson this morning from Romans. I'm happy to report that as overwhelming and challenging as General Assembly was at times, there was also an abundance of hope everywhere. Hope for the church, hope for our world, hope in Jesus Christ. We celebrated over 240 new worshiping communities born in the past 2 years, well on our way to our denomination's goal of 1,001 new worshiping communities by 2022. We heard about a new denominational initiative called Educate a Child, Transform the World, which hopes to improve the quality of education for 1 million children in the U.S. and around the world over the next 4 years. We gathered around tables and in meeting rooms with people from all sorts of different backgrounds and on all different sides of the issues. And in the midst of our differences, we were able to recognize the image of God in one another, to listen and share ourselves with each other, and to recommit ourselves to the work of the gospel in the world. After my experience at General Assembly, I give thanks to God for the incredible diversity of people and gifts God has given this church. And I am so hopeful for our future together. I learned that I have new friends and relatives all over the world, that our church family tree is much bigger and more amazing than I had ever realized. Like any family, we don't always get along, and we have plenty of challenges ahead of us. But if we can stay focused on what unites us as a family, following Jesus and doing God's will, and if we keep working together to build up our neighbors, welcome the stranger, and live in harmony, then we will, with one voice, glorify God in our words and our actions. And God will be able to accomplish abundantly far more through us than we could ever ask or imagine. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.